Ladies and gentlemen, the podcast is about to begin. Please take your seats and we'll get started. Hi, everybody. This is Camille Forte, and as usual, I have the magnificent Michael with me here in the studio.
Hi.
He actually built up to that high, too. Thank you for your time and for being with us. Don't ever forget that money is replaceable, time is not. So we're going to make it time well spent.
Unless you go digital like India's going, then everything's just like Bitcoin.
And thank you for that magnificent mic.
You're welcome.
I'm sure you'll have plenty of valuable commentary throughout the rest of the podcast. So today I wanted to talk about something a little different. Most of my podcasts have been sort of how-tos or ideas or strategy. I'm big on strategy, but this one is more of a how-to or a how-not-to. You might even call it marketing etiquette, but basically, we went from a generation that either did not use the marketing tools that we have available to us today, or they use traditional marketing, TV, newspapers, old methods that are just still used by some, but for the most part not. And with an entirely new age in digital marketing comes an entirely new dynamic of how to work with the people who do the marketing for you. And there's no hand guide that comes with it. And if you are someone who is not savvy about social media or content marketing or SEO, and you've found yourself in a place to hire someone or outsource that marketing, chances are you also don't know a few very important details about how to make that person work the best they can for you. Again, doesn't come with a handbook, so this could really have a big impact on how well you work with your marketer, and just a couple of quick mistakes to really avoid so that you don't unknowingly undermine your marketing success.
Very much agreed.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So, the first one. It's so innocent and it's so common, and that is those quick little tasks, you know, the quick little favors. Can you do this for me real quick? Can I call you real quick? Forward an email, check this out for me. Yes, it is wonderful. If you have found yourself a marketing person who is well-rounded, or a marketing team or company that is very well-rounded and has the skill level and experience to check out all different facets of marketing for you. But keep in mind that you brought them on board for a specific purpose, or maybe a set of specific purposes. And as innocent as it may seem or feel, every time that you come and ask that person to divert away, that's a lot of time that they're not doing what you hired them to do. And then you also have to take into account that you've just totally thrown them off. And again, you don't think of this. You think of it kind of like walking into the next office. Hey, you think you could pick me up a sandwich when you go out? You know, to the person asking, it's so, what's the word, benign. You know, it seems so innocent and harmless. Hey, can you check into this for me? But you have to keep in mind that every request you make, every hour that you spend on the phone that isn't pre-scheduled, every extra little favor or task is time that they're not spending on what you hired them for. And the reason that this is so very important is when you don't have the results that you expected or were hoping for, you can't really point your finger and say, well, why didn't you deliver this? Because if that person can turn around and say, well, you know, three times a day you're asking me to look into this or that, and I'm on the phone with you constantly, you know, there's not much time left to do the primary objectives. I mean, does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. In layman's terms, if you hire a doctor, have your doctor do your doctor things, not your plumbing.
And, you know, one of my most successful clients ever in history was an automotive dealership. And, of course, we met a little more frequently starting out. But after a few months, we literally met maybe once a month to recap the month on the phone, and we may have touched base via email and phone a couple of times during the month. From his perspective, he knew that he could trust his marketer. From my perspective, I was never distracted from delivering for him phenomenal results. And in less than 6 months, he had to move his car dealership into a larger facility, gravely angering, dare I say, pissing off the general manager of the larger dealership, who was getting bumped down to the smaller dealership. But that's the type of results that you get when you sort of respect that scope and the boundaries of what you specifically brought that marketer in for.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Again, if you go to a doctor, you want him to do doctor things. You don't have him go check your plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're a plumber.
Well, that would definitely be an interesting conversation, but I'll bet that doctor wouldn't have much time left over to do anything medical if he's underneath the kitchen sink.
Well, what you're pretty much trying to say in your first point, you know, which I agree with, is, you know, use the skill set for that person that you hired them for. So in other words, if their strong point is marketing, let, you know, concentrate everything that you direct to them as marketing. If you have sales questions, that's what your salesperson's for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your salesperson's going to do. Answer all your sales stuff as well as your IT. You don't go with a marketing question to your IT guy.
Well, believe it or not, it could even be marketing related. Because say you hired someone to do a specific type of marketing for you, and you just kept, you know, nailing them with little side requests all the time. It's difficult because that person, you know, they had a good marketer lays out a strategy for you. They've got a strategy and they've got a plan and they're going to make it work. And if they're diverted constantly, it's kind of like you see a guy fishing, he's on the river, he's fishing, and you keep asking him for help with this and that and this and that. And at the end of the day, you're like, hey, you know, why don't you have any fish? And the fisherman just looks at you with that look like, really? You know, seriously? So.
Very true.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you had advice to give for this first point, and, you know, we want to touch on to the second point and so forth, if you have a marketing person that's working with you, and that marketing person is someone that's, you know, someone that could be split into a sales / marketing person, do you utilize them to answer sales questions if you don't have a salesperson, or do you just divert the question to your salesperson?
The best alternative, if you don't have every specific resource for every little aspect, say you've got someone on board for content marketing and that person's writing blogs for you, or say you've got someone doing your SEO or your social media or whatever it is, and you've got maybe a marketing sales question, and they're not a salesperson, but technically you're selling marketing, or maybe it's about a different aspect, the best thing to do is create an understanding that it's backburnered and it's scheduled. There's a reason that I'm passionate about strategy. stop taking the fishermen away from the river. Let the fishermen instead schedule in that request for a time when the fish aren't biting. That way you're not losing out, the marketer's not getting thrown off all the time, and you're still getting your fish. And I know that's starting to get a little weird, but at the end of the day, everybody wants their fish.
Except if it's a fish squish patty on a bun.
And this is coming from a vegetarian, but that's neither here nor there. And actually, to back up that point, if you go to the blog, in the very first point, which is the one we're talking about and the most important one, there's actually a link in there to Harvard research about the best way to ask for help. It's specifically about professional relationships, working relationships, and it is proven the most productive, the least draining, the most win-win type of way to ask someone for help, if it's not directly already a part of the active happenings or strategy, is to schedule it for another time when that person is not already devoted to some sort of task or project.
Good.
So, it is a fact. I didn't just make that one up. That's Harvard-based, so. And last I checked, they still had a pretty good reputation. So, you know. The second point is not talking to your marketer about your daily happenings and what you're doing on a daily basis. And number one, don't worry, the podcast gets a lot faster from here on out because that first point was really important. But you have to talk to your marketer or your marketing team or your marketing company about what happens in your every single day and what's going on with your business operations, your sales, your success, whatever it is in your particular niche, because so many times I have seen splinter cell operations where different divisions of a company, even the smallest of businesses, they keep the different people of different roles so very separated. And when you do that, especially with marketing, what happens is there's no way for that marketer to tell what is the ultimate outcome. Now, that is not to say marketing is not measurable. Of course it is. We can see everything from clicks to what pages they've been on but didn't click through to, and, you know, so many dashboards and engagement stats, you name it, we can see all that stuff. But on your side of it, on the operational side of it, the day-to-day operations, it's really important to know what's working. And a great example of this was a company president who was also very much a salesperson, constantly getting on a plane to go to different big-time retailers and try to sell the products. And he would come back very often excited, saying that the trip went well and that a sale had happened, but that was all I ever knew. And the one thing that I know, especially today more than ever, I've been in the same situation where it was communicated with me what was happening on the daily operational side. And I was able to see that, okay, yes, this strategy is working. These tactics are working. You know, and this president of the first example I gave, I think he actually flew home every time thinking that he closed that deal because of his irresistible charm and good looks.
And they weren't there.
I assure you, it was not.
Man is uglier than sin.
It was not that. It was the fact that they saw such a robust presence. They saw great SEO. They saw fabulous social media on a daily basis. And they saw an active community that was rallying around these products. And that is what convinces a retailer to put your product on the shelves. if they see people connecting virtually and digitally to collaborate and, you know, talk about your product and be a part of it, then you know people are going to buy it off the shelves. But we didn't have that loop of communication, so unfortunately, he'll never know the true reason why those sales were made. The downside of that is when those sales are no longer being made, he's going to be beside himself and he's not going to know. So it's important to keep the lines of communication open with your marketing team. Mm-hmm.
It's best to have everyone in the loop than keep everyone out of the loop, because you're the only one that gets hung by the rope that you sew by yourself.
Very true. And yeah, very poetic, Mike. Thank you.
Read that off a Hallmark card.
So three, point number three, to not undermine your marketing success. And this is, you know, it's a quick one, but it's a twofold one. And that's hiring too many chefs or having too many chefs in the kitchen. And yes, I hope you've heard that before. Otherwise, I'm talking to toddlers, and I hope I'm not. Everyone knows the expression, too many chefs in the kitchen, or too many chefs in the soup, too many chefs in the pot, whatever, however you dice it up. And this could be in a couple of ways. Number one, it could be however many providers you bring on or people to whom you outsource. When you do it piecemeal, and let's say you've got one person doing your content marketing, you've got another person doing your social media, you've got someone else doing your SEO, you have a twofold problem. Number one, you're paying top dollar, because if you're only getting one product or service from each one, you're probably being charged the highest rate. Whereas if you got a package deal, not only would you probably get it less expensively, but even more importantly, when you outsource piecemeal, whether it's to individuals, agencies, companies, doesn't matter, they're not talking to each other. I have been on the agency side, I have been on the independent side, I've been on the employee side, the supervisor side. Trust me on this one, folks. Companies, for some reason, I wish, you know, why can't we all just get along? It's more like, why can't all agencies just really talk to each other? And it's the truth. So if you can streamline all of your services and your products, you're going to not only get probably more for your money, but also those people, it's one person. So that person who is driving your social media strategy is inherently intertwined with your content marketing and also your SEO. And so every single piece of the puzzle is no longer a puzzle, because everything's synchronized. It's like synchronized swimmers. You know, when you order piecemeal, you have individual, you know,
imagine like how our brain works. Our brain tells the rest of our body what to do. But let's say we cut the brain from the stem, and let's say the arms have independent control and don't tell the brain what they're doing. Same thing with the legs. You won't be able to write. You won't be able to walk. You have to have everything synchronous.
The funny thing is, I am picturing someone who is struggling to walk with three different brains as they're bumping into walls.
This is why you don't need to go back to college.
But no, don't worry, no walls are melting. No, but it's actually a great example. Would you put three brains in one body? You know, you're not exactly going to walk like a runway model.
Example I saw from a movie recently, like Get Out. I won't spoil anything, but if you've seen the movie and how the aspect of that surgery works, you will understand what Camille is making with point three.
More than one brain per person is bad, but also more than one marketing provider may not always be your best option. There is also the other side of this, and this is always, I've said this in blogs and advice before, always consider the source and be very, very careful when you get advice. Remember that you hired someone because they're educated enough, experienced enough, and skilled enough to know how to do it right. Otherwise, you should not have hired them. Do not go around to a bunch of people who don't know marketing from a hole in the ground and ask them their opinion. They're not going to understand why. I mean, let me go back to the fisherman. You know, the fisherman knows why he's using that type of bait at that particular part of spring, whether it's high tide, whether it's low tide. There are a lot of variables that go into it. A person who is not a marketer is not going to understand why best practices are the way they are. There's a saying, good marketers follow best practices. Great marketers make them. And I remember 10 years ago when MySpace was barely out and I was getting crafty and scrappy, finding ways to get clients super popular on MySpace. And guess what? I got it to work. But we live in an age today where you can get a lead ad from somebody in 3 seconds without even taking them to a different website. Everything is different today. So,
best advice is don't ask a colorblind person for colored advice.
And this is coming from a color impaired person.
It's not my fault she can't see colors.
I would never ask you to defuse a bomb.
That's why I am in radio.
But actually, consider the source. So, always. And, don't be afraid to trust your marketer with new things, like something that I just mentioned, you know, a lead ad. To a lot of people who aren't familiar with social media, you know, what do you mean a lead ad? I don't know what that is. That frightens me. Well, yes. You know, it's sort of like that, all those memes you see and stories you hear about getting out of your comfort zone in order to produce results. Well, remember 10 years ago, you were still looking into TV ads or newspaper ads and whatnot. And today we have social media advertising where I can get you a B2B lead from a high-level executive in under 5 seconds on a social media platform. That's just crazy if you compare it to, you know, the MySpace days. The fact that you can do B2B and you can target high-level leads, it's just, you know, you have to take that leap.
Think of it this way. I remember 10 years ago, as Facebook was coming into its own, you know, a lot of businesses were very hesitant. They're like, I'm not going to advertise on Facebook. Why am I going to do Facebook? Then as Twitter was growing more than, you know, your father tweeting on the couch, you know, people were like, I'm not going to advertise on Twitter. I'm not going to market on Twitter. Instagram comes out. Same thing. I'm not going to advertise on. And you fill in the blank. And as a business owner, and myself as being one, you do get scared. I could talk from a business owner's perspective, but you as a marketer, Camille, you know, you're absolutely right, because as you go to your doctor and your doctor gives you best health advice, you go to your dentist gives you the best dental advice, you go to your eye doctor, he or she will tell you what's the best pair of glasses, or, you know, don't try to text and drive when you're doing something. Oh no, that's a police officer. But, you know, you take the advice of the profession of the person that's in it. And when you say no to your marketer without even knowing what the marketer is saying, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Oh, I've got a good one.
No, she doesn't.
No, it was a company I was working for, and they got some bad product reviews, and I was really, really trying to suggest a reputation management program both through social and through sales. And they said, no, we can't afford the $10 to $15 it would cost to send the person a new product and have them take down their negative review. And I tried to tell them that, you know, for that one negative review, it could deter up to 66% of new prospective customers from buying the product. And especially if you're selling on something like eBay or Amazon or Etsy, or heck, even LinkedIn shows other people, quote unquote, like you. So your competition is always just a glance away. And it was maybe about a year later that one of the owners came in just jaw on the floor saying, how have we gotten all these bad reviews online over the last year and we've done absolutely nothing about it? And then it was a damage control scramble, really. But you make another good point, Mike, and I think it's important to remember this. You probably, or hopefully, if you're lucky, you hired a geek. When Mike made the analogy about the doctor, the lawyer, the accountant, whatever the case may be, all of those people go for, say, CMEs, continuing medical education credits. They have to be up and up on what's going on in the medical world. Same thing with a marketer. This stuff changes every single day. I mean, lead ads weren't available for desktop until a few months ago. And Canvas ads are out now, and SEO has changed completely, and people are still, for the most part, worried about title tags and meta description, not the other 200 variables that are more important now in your SEO. So if you made the right choice when you hired your marketer, you hired somebody who spends their nights and weekends reading up on the latest developments in social media and content marketing and branding and marketing strategy and mobile marketing, all that stuff. And you were either on the golf course or enjoying family time or kickboxing, whatever you're into, that's, you know, neither here nor there, and it's also perfectly fine. You know, you didn't go into the line of work or the type of business you went into just so you could end up being a self-taught marketer in the end. That's why you outsourced. So remember that whoever you're working with should definitely be the type of person who's constantly staying on the up and up. And so they're the ones who know what's the latest, greatest, and breaking. And kind of like talking about what's going on the operations side, wouldn't exactly hurt to ask your marketer, hey, what's new in marketing these days? What's the hottest new thing? So that's it.
Pretty much just trust your marketer. Yeah. They know what's best. They know what's going on. And it's kind of like when you go to your kid to have him program your VCR or, you know, your DVR now, because they know more about it than you do. That's why you hired him in the first place.
Oh, that quote. What was that fabulous quote from Steve Jobs? We don't hire smart people so that we can tell them what to do. We hire smart people so that they can tell us what to do. And, you know, if it's never outside your comfort zone, I'd be worried about your marketer.
I'm a PC guy, so.
Yeah.
So, as always, you know, any questions, always use the hashtag AskCamille. That's AskCamille.
Thank you, Mike.
Just making sure I spelled it right. And, you know, the blog, you know, you'll see the blog up. Because somebody decided not to fully write it and add pictures and send it to their webmaster.
I sent it 2 weeks ago, you son of a...
Mm-hmm. But, again, any questions, comments, concerns, just want to tell me how cool I am, just hashtag AskCamille and ask away.
You can always go to my website, get in contact with me any way your little heart desires, through social media, through the Contact Us forum, you know, all the typical ways. So don't ever hesitate to ask a question, reach out, get in touch.
Definitely.
Let's talk. Let's have coffee. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being with us. And until we meet again.
Take care.